everybody, and welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show. I am Matthew Aaron, www.TheMatthewAaronShow.com. If you cannot tell, I am back in Chicago because you can hear it in my cold. Twitter. We're on Twitter at Matt Aaron Show, MattAaron Show, SHOW. I can't believe I had to spell that out. We're on iTunes. We are on, my favorite nowadays is Spotify, because we've been doing great numbers at Spotify with these oral histories. I think the Whiskey Cavalier one with Dave Hemmingson for kicking it off. But we've been doing really well at Spotify. You can find us there with the Matthew Aaron Show as well. You can always go to the website to email me or email producer Pat Tobias. And today on the show, I have on Haley Orantia. Is that right? I think I did it right. Orantia. I think I did like a little like... more sexed up than it should be, but yes, Orantia. You got mail. Is it any good? Probably not. Probably nothing I want. Nope, definitely nothing I want. So we're back. I feel like we're saying we're back every time I do a show because there's just gaps. And as you know, there's gaps because I kind of refuse to do production, even though I haven't put anything out in two years, production and podcasting at the same time, because it's very difficult to juggle the two. I'm not Marc Maron. I'm not that good. Okay. But we're back, and Haley Orantia joins us from the Goldbergs in 15 minutes or so. I wanted to talk about a few things, get some things updated here off my chest. Movies are very hard to make, people. I hope those who are going through schooling, going through college, going through film school or want to make films, if you want to make films with stars that are going to guarantee you eyeballs and guarantee you distribution and guarantee you a certain level of media and press, it's going to cost you money. I would say even the cheapest films, if you want a real star, you're still talking, if it's a one-man production, if it's a one-female production, you're still talking $500,000. So I've been pre-producing a bunch of things, and they all have certain levels of amount of money attached to them and certain stars attached to them, and it's just a rat race to get anything made. It's so hard. It's definitely made me feel like these people, they're going out there with their iPhone 11 Pro Maxes and whatever else people are using Google Pixel for or what have you. You know what? You rather make something than nothing, right? So maybe you're on to something. Maybe all those years that I shit on people that made shorts who get seen by like dozens of people and they just put them on a reel, maybe I need to apologize and say, well, better to shoot shorts than not shoot. Because I'll tell you something, one of the main things that has caused me to have anxiety, stress, and depression over the last few years and has contributed to major health problems with my heart has been not being on a set, not making something. I'm at that point where I would kill to make another bromance, let alone another landline. I would just kill to film something. I would kill to have a camera and a script and press record. I don't know if we're at that point yet, but you never know. You never know. I'm working my tail off to get some things done. I optioned a TV show recently. I'm not sure I'm allowed to say to who, or because there's a lot of moving parts. And you find out with TV, you're never going to be the boss. Even if you're Shonda Rhimes or there's still people you answer to at the end of the day. Movies, independent movies, you can be the boss. I am in a different, I'm in a different league now where I am not the boss. And the different league kind of sucks because it doesn't really pay much more than the minor leagues. So that's interesting. So we're just, it's really rough when you're not making anything. It's been the roughest 2 years of my life. And I encourage you to film something, do something. Producer Pat always used to give me shit because I said, I'll go out there and make something for no dollars and not get paid. And he said, that's just, you got to get paid. You got to make a living. And he's right. But do you see what also happens, Producer Pat, when we do nothing? And it's depressing and boring. And I'm just kind of over it. You know, someone said I can run a play for a month for like $2,000 or less. I'm like, well, shit, I can get $2,000. I can do a play for a month every weekend. I may do that. I don't know, man. It's time to get out there. It's time to be creative. And it's time to make 2020 a really big year for me. Because if 2020 is not a really big year for me, I'm going to hit 300 podcasts and then I'm going to say sayonara, see you later, bye-bye. And I know Pat's in bed. He's like, oh my God, with the depressing podcast. I'm not trying to be depressing. I'm just trying to be real with our listeners that if you're not producing, if you're not being productive, if you're not making something, then what are you doing? So that's where we're at. And, that's why, and by the way, I decided to talk about this so everyone knows there is a point, there's a segue. Haley Orantia, who we have on, of course she's on the Goldbergs, and of course she has money and a career, and I get that. But, and by the way, this is a girl who got a lot of money stolen from her in a relationship that went really bad. A boyfriend did not work out. And we decided to talk about, as you'll hear in the next couple minutes, a couple EPs that she put out. Now, she doesn't have a music label. She doesn't have a promotion behind her other than her own PR company. So she doesn't have a marketing team, nothing like that. She put out some EPs. It's like her independent films, you know. And she wasn't going to just sit back and do nothing. So we all need to find a way to create and take us away from our thoughts and stewing in our feelings. Let's go share those feelings. Let's go share those emotions. Let's go share that creativity with everyone else. And we're going to talk to Haley about that. And I think it's really important. Well, it does not pay to be back in Chicago with this weather. I decided to save some money until something happens with this TV show. I'm going to go home and finish these two feature scripts I'm working on and save some money and stay in Chicago. And it has been a very cold and sick couple weeks, and a lot of doctors, the health system. Oh boy, do we all need universal health care? Let me tell you something, because I'm not getting proper health care treatment with privatized health care. Okay, I'm not going to say what company because God knows I get sued. But I have a healthcare company, and they do nothing for me. Nothing, nothing. I have to call them every day for 2 weeks to get them to do something. it's really frustrating. So for people that don't have health care, they have to go through whatever the hell they got to go through. God, oh, I can't imagine. I cannot imagine, okay? You know, my heart's in bad shape, and there's nights where I feel like I'm dying. And they're supposed to do an overnight test for me. It's been a month and a half. No one's even scheduled it yet. And by the way, every doctor agrees that it's urgent. We should do it. A month and a half. Not scheduled. Your heart. This is my heart we're talking about. I don't have a stubbed toe. I don't have a contusion in my knee. This is my heart. And I cannot, in a month and a half, get my overnight test scheduled. Come on. What are we doing here, America? What are we doing? What is this health system? What's going on? So, you know, if I don't make it 300 episodes, which it doesn't sound like I'm gonna, now you guys know why. The healthcare system failed me terribly, terribly. I miss not having a co-host, though. Lee is just as depressing as I am. So I'm like, well, I got to get a happier co-host, someone who's going to talk about food or something. But Mikey moved to Indianapolis, Mikey Terzo, and, you know, he has a case of the swear words and the racisms and whatever else he says on the air that we can't have. And they, I'm just kidding about the racisms, but, you know, he says outlandish things. And I think Lenny finally learned he has to act the proper way to be a lawyer. And I think Alex Luisi just hasn't gotten the phone call to come on and be an asshole. But you know, I do miss having her co-hosts. Part of the problem is, you know, I'm doing these oral histories now, which one, you don't really need a bunch of people for. And there's less room to improvise. But two, Pat and I have been having trouble scheduling people. There was a time where this podcast was a very big priority, and podcasting was very hot. And it was very easy to schedule people for Wednesdays and Thursdays. Like, I could schedule two interviews a week. I could schedule, we were at a point where you could schedule four interviews a week. But it's just, it's not that easy anymore. My schedule's changed. Other people's schedules have changed. I'm in L.A. When I'm in L.A., people want to do phone interviews. When I'm in Chicago, people want to do interviews in person in L.A. It's just a mess. And so we're hoping to keep bringing you more and more content as time goes by, because we know the interviews are what kill on the show and have kept us alive. And they're the best part of the show, and I thank you for that, and I'm happy to bring them to you. So without further ado, I am going to bring you our interview with Haley Orentia. She's on The Goldberg. She plays Erica on The Goldberg, Erica Goldberg. And she has two EPs that have freshly came out, and we're going to play some of the music up front for you. And then we're going to play our interview with Erica. So here's a couple songs from Erica's EPs, and then my interview with Erica. Thank you very much, and I will see you guys on the flip side of the interview.
Watch that clock. Wishing it could tick a little quicker, yeah. Knowing that sun drops and the stars start shining like glitter. Soak up all the happy in the hours. Isn't that what they're for? There ain't no other party like ours. Always gonna want a couple more. Nights and weekends. Coming in on pink lips on the rim of a drink. Can think of blue eyes when they're looking at me. You ain't even trying to hide what you think. It easy to find.
be the reason that we get nights and weekends. Got my neon pink lips on the rim of a drink. You leave our blue eyes when they're looking at me. You ain't even trying to hide what you think. Lights and feelings. The way they get spinning all over the room. Make me want to dance a little closer to you. Let the midnight vibes do what they do. Making it easy.
Those are some songs from Haley Orantia and her new EP and album. Nights and Weekends is one, and The Way Out is the EP, which has If I Don't on it. Haley is going to be joining us in a moment. They're grabbing her from set of the Goldbergs, but since I have such limited time with her, I want to get started with talking about her right now. She's on the seventh season of The Goldbergs right now, which is one of ABC's biggest shows. And she's also a very talented musician who she was on season one of The X Factor. As you know, we've been doing oral histories on this show. What we're probably going to do here is the oral history of her EP, The Way Out, and her new single, Nights and Weekends. And then hopefully I can get her again to come sit down and do a Goldbergs episode. The reason I want to do The Way Out and Nights and Weekends is we don't get the opportunity as much as I would like to talk about music on this show. And I would love to get the breakdown and the behind the scenes of what it takes for someone as busy but as talented as her to put together albums like this while she's shooting a huge show that requires a lot of time of it literally takes over your entire life. And then you get a very little amount of time for a break, and then you go right back into it. And that's why after a lot of sitcoms, you see people take a year, 2 years off because they need the time off. It succumbs your whole life. Everything is a part of that sitcom. You don't have much of a life at that point. So I want to talk to her about what it takes to put out an album this good. Very reminiscent to me of Leanne Rimes, early 2000s, and when Leanne put that pop into her country. And I can see this album obviously is going to be a huge hit. I don't see why it wouldn't be. Nights and Weekends alone is great. Off the top of my head, I'm like, I would put that into any movie I ever make. Like that is a movie song. That is we're out, we're having fun, life is good kind of song. But If I Don't is really good too. And the EP, The Way Out, I like the whole EP. This is something I'm looking forward to talking about. We have a lot that we're going to discuss here. Also, as you know, in the past from the Goldbergs, we've had on Jeff Garlin a few times, but I would love, and I'm sure our producer Pat is like, let me take a note here. I would love to start sitting down with multiple cast members from that show and doing an oral history of the Goldbergs. Because that's a show that has a history. It's a fascinating show with Adam Goldberg. using his real life experiences and real life VHS recordings and family and friends, and that became a show. So I find it real fascinating, the Goldbergs, and I look forward to talking about that. I'm going to play one more song from Haley, and then we're going to come back, and hopefully she will be joining us. This is What Ifs and Maybes. This is Matthew Aaron, and I am here with Haley Orentia, and we are going to be talking about, she of course stars on The Goldbergs, which is in season 7 right now, and for those who listen to the show, you know we do a bunch of oral histories, but we've yet to have an oral history this year covering music, and I'm a really big fan of your music. I love The Way Out. And I also love Nights and Weekends. And I wanted to kind of talk about those two albums because it seems like there's kind of a linear storytelling going on between those two EPs. So let's start with The Way Out. Now, first of all, are you working on the TV show when you're writing music and putting together this EP?
With that specific EP, it was kind of a whole journey of songwriting that kind of led me to decide to even do an EP. So in a way, I was filming, but once I finally got to, I guess I was, because I think we did it at the end of the year. So we had started filming season 6, and I had started the EP process, and I tried to just like make it as quickly as possible, as horrible as that sounds, because I had already been hanging on to kind of the emotions of what this EP was about for almost a year or two at that point, and needed to just get it off my chest and put it out in the world. And so I think, yeah, we released it that next May, which was nearing the end of season 6.
And I don't think it's any big secret, but if you don't want to talk about it, that's fair too. But I think we all know from listening to the EP, it's about a bad breakup. And what's interesting about it, and I don't think I've ever, I mean, I've seen it done this way a few times, but I mean, it's very rare in music to have something like this. It really is like a step-by-step catalog of music going through your emotional time through your breakup. Would you say that's fair?
Absolutely. I tried to map out the 5 stages of grief that I experienced after this very traumatic breakup.
Yeah.
I noticed myself going through stages, and I started researching what, you know, everyone hears the 5 stages of grief, and some people don't think it's real. Some people think it's, you know, it's not necessarily played in that order, which it's not. So it was for me a fun challenge as a songwriter to be able to express all of those different emotions covering the same subject. But it's also because when I was experiencing those things, each emotion I went through, each phase was so different. And I kept finding myself going back to anger quite a bit, depression even. And I felt like for me, it was a form of therapy to be able to get it out. But I also wanted to share my own experience and be as vulnerable as possible, because I, as someone in the public eye, have an opportunity with the platform I have to, you know, share what I'm going through and have it relate to hopefully younger women, even younger men that might be going through similar things. So for me, it was therapeutic for myself, but in hopes that this would also translate and resonate with other people that are going through similar things.
Yeah, I think so. And doing my research, I watched a lot of interviews, and I noticed that this was a particularly nasty breakup. But now you're talking about something that's so traumatizing. excuse me, I know a lot of musicians myself, and I'm always impressed because as a screenwriter, it's a little different than being a musician. And I'm always impressed that, like, how do you find the moment in between the depression and the sadness to write lyrics, to sit down with a guitar, to sing a song, to call your other musician friends and be like, hey, I'd like to try something with you guys. Like, how's that process work? It's kind of crazy, right? Because you're going through all of it.
Yeah, I will say the funny thing I have learned about music and songwriting is for most people, and myself included, it is actually a billion times easier to write a song when you're sad. Mm. And I now that I am in such a healthy mental state and I feel so good and I'm happy, I have such a hard time writing.
You're no
music.
Good to us now.
And I think it's just, it's kind of funny, but I mean, I don't know what it is about being sad that just is more inspiring from a songwriting standpoint. It's just, maybe for me, it's just the challenge of like, I have something to say and I know how to just say it and turn it into something that feels that way. Rather than with being happy, I guess it's yeah. Like, oh, okay, write a fun, happy song about being in love. And that feels good too. But for me, I like sad songs are always where I resonate and like live the most. And so once this happened to me, as much as I wish it never had, it definitely was something that I was like, okay, well, I definitely know what I'm going to write about. I have you know, so many different stages of grief that I'm experiencing every day. And I know that's something that other people resonate with. So I absolutely feel compelled to share what I'm going through. So I don't know what it is about songwriting and sad songs, but it is something funny where you, as long as you can go into a room and get vulnerable with other people and they're willing to accept that and, you know, build on top of it with you and create something beautiful, that's just why I love music. It is a weird job in a way, though. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I love, but what I love is, you know, and we're going to get to it in a little bit, but like I said, it's kind of linear, and you're talking about, well, you know, it's hard to write a happy song, but Nights and Weekends is a banger. You know, I tell people when I knew I was going to interview you, I told people, I go, listen, because obviously I'm a 36-year-old male, and you're not exactly my demographic, right? But I told people, especially my friends in the LGBT community, I thought they'd love you because you have a very, like, Diane Warren quality to you, and I just find your songs to be great. They're cinematic. I was talking about before we had you on, which is like, I feel like all your songs could be put into a movie. Like they're very cinematic. They're awesome. But I want to talk about, like, so you're writing these sad songs as you're talking about, but they're not like going to depress people, because If I Don't is a real catchy tune. Now, are you keeping that in mind while you're writing this song, that, man, I don't want to depress people, I want people to, like, feel, you know, a certain way when they're listening to this? Like, how do you think about that when you're writing a song? Like, I want this to be catchy, I want this to be fun, even though it's about something a little bit not.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely want to make music that people enjoy, and maybe even pop music being like something that I'm very influenced by. And I definitely keep that in mind as much as I can. Sorry, give me one second.
No, you're fine.
So with that said, sorry, give me one second. Somebody is making me move. So trying to keep that in mind, sorry.
You're fine.
Sorry. There's somebody that needed to move something and I was in the way. So I definitely keep pop music at the forefront of my mind because it's something that I'm very influenced by myself and I enjoy it. So that's something I try to do whenever I can. But at the same time, I'm a very lyrically driven person. So I want to stick with something that is raw and emotional. And trying to combine the two, for me, it gets hard. But with The Way Out and the EP, I definitely tried to keep more to my truth and just what I felt was right for me than necessarily putting, like, pop music at the forefront of my mind for it. I wanted it to be something that I could look back at and be proud of and know that I was as honest with myself and other people about my experience as possible, rather than, you know, is this something that a large crowd of people could, you know, sing along to, which is why you have songs in there like Okay, which is a super sad song. It's about depression.
Right.
And every time I perform it live, I get a little nervous because I think, you know, I love going to a show and seeing an acoustic kind of breakdown of a song and it being emotional and lyrically driven, but is it something that's going to put everyone to sleep? And so you have to just, as an artist, like, I guess, come to terms with what you feel is okay. You know, when you're putting your own thing out, you have to be proud of it yourself.
Well, I think my experience when I listen to you is I feel like you have this very Leanne Rimes quality, which is you can turn on a commercial pop song in a moment's notice, but then you could switch gears and do something a little country, a little more soul driven, and a little less commercial, a little more I'm trying to reach to your emotions. And I find that to be a great quality to have as a musician. That, yeah, the first artist that came to mind when I listened to you was Leanne Rimes. That was the number one.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I thought like you guys have that similar vibe. So So this is interesting for me. So you write The Way Out. You get to pour out all these emotions, all these feelings. It's kind of therapeutic getting over this bad relationship. You hope that your therapy helps others get through their tough times. Now, how do you get this album out? Because it's an EP, so it's only five songs. But so how do you get out there into the world so people know about it and so hopefully you can get more gigs out of it? And then more albums from it.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely hard because I'm also juggling a television career that takes up a big chunk of the year. But with that said, it also benefits me in some way in the fact that I have, a certain amount of people that are watching every week and may happen to follow me online and can catch it that way. So I'm very grateful to the show that I'm on. Because it has allowed me to have a platform where I can release music and hopefully people will listen. So I would say that's definitely first and foremost. But, I try as much as I can to travel to Nashville. I have a place there, and I try to focus as much time as I can when I'm not filming on music. So when I am there, I'm making connections and trying to, I'm an independent artist, though, at the end of the day. I am unsigned. I don't have a publishing deal. And that makes it, way harder because I'm not necessarily getting the same opportunity as someone who is signed and having certain gigs come up that you're going to have a great opportunity to share, what it is you're playing, as well as just getting it out even around town. It's very difficult. So for me, especially with the Way Out EP, it was about releasing it and just putting it out into the universe and hoping that it finds people when they need to find it. It is what it is at the end of the day. I would love to have more people hear the music and resonate with it, but I've kind of taken on the idea that I'm juggling a show. It's very difficult.
Yeah.
And I will just continue to make the music that works for me and in the time that it's right for me to release something when it feels good. And hopefully that settles in with people when they want to hear it. I don't know. It's kind of like it works when it works.
It's hard for you
once
to
the show is done.
Yeah.
I'd like to spend more time focusing on music full time.
Wow. Okay. That's great. I mean, it's hard for you as a musician when you have the Goldbergs to drop by the Viper Room or Whiskey A Go-Go on a Monday or Tuesday night and play some of your songs.
Yeah.
It's really, because you got to be in bed. It's a long day.
Exactly.
Totally. So when you're in Nashville, do you just like pop by the bars and play some songs, or what's the deal when you're out there? Do you get a chance to do some live performances?
When I go to Nashville, I don't really get to perform all that often. And I think it's just because I do not play guitar well at all. I've tried. It is the bane of my existence. But I play piano a little bit, and I'm just not confident enough in my piano skills to take that out and do songwriter rounds as much as I am such a fan of songwriter rounds, which Nashville is known for. It's just the most incredible part about that city is you're getting to see songwriters who are writing music that you may have heard from big artists like Keith Urban or Carrie Underwood. And meanwhile, this song has a whole other meaning when it's being told by the songwriter themselves and playing it. So with that, I feel like whenever the show is in between seasons, I will make as much time as I can to also travel when I'm not in the studio or writing. So I've gone on tour. I did an opening, a few cities opening for Gone West. I don't know if you're familiar with Colby Calais' new.
Oh, I love Colby Calais.
And they're phenomenal.
Oh, that's great.
So I opened for them a few times, and our music just, it goes hand in hand. And so it was really great to be able to have an opportunity to be in front of an audience like what Colby's audience that she can pull and share my music that hopefully resonates with them in the way that hers does.
Then
I did some touring by myself and try to feel that out as much as I can. But it, whenever the opportunity presents itself, I definitely take it on. You know,
what would you say is your craziest experience? Is it the X Factor? Was that like your craziest experience in the business? Yeah, by far. Like, what made that so crazy? It's because, you know, we just see it as a reality show, so we don't really understand the nuts and bolts of the why it's so crazy. Well, like, why was it for you? Like, what made it just like, wow?
Well, first of all, I was 17 years old when I auditioned. I wasn't necessarily wanting to audition, but my mom had convinced me that it's a new Simon Cowell show, just like submit a tape, see what happens, because I had missed the actual in-person audition. And I kind of did it just because I was, truthfully, the reason I didn't want to audition was because you've seen so many of these shows come and go, and you see people that are on them. They can either be insanely successful, like a Kelly Clarkson, a Carrie Underwood, or you can come in and you peak at 17 and you never get another opportunity after that. And I didn't want to take that risk, to be honest with you. But I did it because at the time it was the best opportunity that had presented itself. And I sent the audition tape thinking they'd never see it. They did, went straight to the judges, got four yeses, and went in as a solo artist hoping for the best at that point, having no idea what it was like to be on a TV show, to perform live in front of millions of people. So it was definitely nerve-wracking, to say the least. It was also a big learning experience. It was being thrown into this fast-paced lifestyle that I now live every day as far as, you know, every day I get up at 5 a.m. and I can be at work for 12 hours or I can be at work for 3 hours. Like, it's a very flexible schedule, but also not at all kind of.
And you never know when it's flexible. You never, you're not told it's 3 hours the day before.
No, you're like, no. You're being thrown into it and you're like, well, I hope I get off work in time to make that my mom's birthday party. I've been looking forward to forever. But
that's,
you know what I mean?
You
never know.
No.
And so that was my first experience as far as like being in that. But then it was also, to be very honest with you, seeing the TV show take over and the production take priority over the actual talent themselves.
That's interesting.
You know, you watch that all the time. You watch people go home off these shows that you go, how the hell did that person go home? And it's because at the end of the day, people forget it is a television show, and there are producers who are looking to make the most ratings possible.
And that's kind of a turnoff, right?
So,
like, for somebody that's not in the business, and I mean, you've succeeded after that, so I think we can talk about this, and the show's not on the air anymore. But you, when you're going through that experience, does that kind of turn you off of Hollywood a little bit? When you're like, oh, I saw how the sausage is made.
I mean, it's the fact that you, or like in my case, I now work on a television show that is a scripted television show.
Yeah.
And even then, our show is based on a real family, and there's an insane amount of things that our show has that is actually real versus most scripted shows are, you know, a creative writer who's making it up as they go, and they have characters they've built. So that's something that it makes sense. People watch it and they go, oh, this is probably scripted and not real, but it's entertaining.
Yeah.
But when you're watching people, you know, from a small town in Oklahoma get, you know, 16 years old, getting her first and probably only opportunity to ever present herself as an artist, still trying to figure out who she is as a person and an artist herself, and having to go up there and say, this is who I am confidently. That's not easy for anyone. But then you're also having producers in your ear trying to tell you what they think you should be. And, you know, you're trying to stay true to who you are, but also wanting to take professional advice. But at what point, you know, do you take that on, what they say on? And maybe you do become very successful, but then are you going to be happy at the end of the day that you didn't say no to certain things and you said yes to, you know what I mean?
It's very difficult.
It's finding a balance.
We talk about this all the time. The people that aren't A-listers, all our working class friends, we talk about this a lot, where it's the Hollywood is a machine, And you're allowed to go against the machine to a degree, but you have to pick your shots. And if you don't pick the right shots, it could hurt you. And so it's this crazy, like, where can I be myself and where do I have to fit into the machine? And it's very difficult to figure out. But
yeah, I mean, it's because at the end of the day, if what the decision you're making is right, like what if you go in this town, LA specifically, Hollywood, where you could go as an actor or a musician auditioning or doing side jobs here and there forever and never feeling like you get your break and thinking, oh, here's an opportunity that presented itself. It's a short film that I really think is cool, but, you know, doesn't pay very well, but who knows? And then, like, it ends up being just the biggest disappointment. And you, like, you never know. You're always constantly looking for the next thing because this is never, no matter what point of your career you're at, I think a job that you feel secure in, unless you're someone like, you know, someone from the Friends show that's just collecting $1 million royalties every year.
But that's why I love the way out and Nights and Weekends is we get the real you. On top of it, like, I think that you doing these EPs proves a point too, which is you should do the projects that make you feel good. And you should do. And so, you know, you talk about, oh, that short film and how it turns out and if it is a disaster, but you know what? It's something you liked and you loved, and there should be no shame in doing that. Unfortunately, the world doesn't work that way, but we like to think it does. So, I loved The Way Out.
I'm definitely this industry is a gamble, but yeah.
I know. I wanted to say the last thing before I let you go, because I know you're busy, is Nights and Weekends. And I wanted to talk about, because everyone's been listening, and I just think, and I want to hear your side of this, is I feel like this was you breaking out of The Way Out. So The Way Out was like, I'm going through this terrible breakup. I'm trying to find myself. I'm trying to be whole again. And then Nights and Weekends is, I'm Haley, I'm back.
Oh, totally.
Okay.
Song that I actually had written before The Way Out.
Yeah.
And I wanted to release it because I just loved it. It felt great. It was fun. And while it wasn't necessarily sending some kind of like life-changing message, it was a song that I could dance to in my car. So
I know. I would love to hear some club versions of it.
Sorry, what was that?
I would love to hear some club versions of the song. You know how they always have DJs remix like these kind of songs? Nights and Weekends is one of those songs that would be great in a club.
To have a remix. Absolutely. Oh, yeah, I've been thinking about that. I got to find the right home for it.
Yeah. But
it was definitely at a time where, you know, I wrote it and then I was still going through a lot of emotions with the breakup and stuff myself that I was not dealing with head on. So I ended up focusing on the EP and then deciding that the Nights and Weekends would come after. And it was such a perfect timing because I, at that point, gotten to such a good point in my life that it was a celebration song for me. It was just all about having fun and looking forward to anything that is to look forward to in your life and in the future. It was just a hopeful feeling and a hopeful song for me. So it was definitely a good timing for that.
Well, we love it and we're glad that you're back to happy you. And I'm so grateful that you were able to join us, Haley. And I hope in the future we can sit down and talk about Goldbergs, too. I'd love to do because we've had Jeff on Garland, you know, half a dozen times or
yes,
whatever.
Yes, of course. The man from Chicago.
Right, that's right, right. So, I bump into him everywhere. It's a Chicagoan thing. It's so weird. But we'd love to have you on and talk Goldbergs, but I really wanted to talk about your EPs because I think someone doing these independent music projects, I think the Goldbergs is going to get its press, but we really would like people to listen to these albums.
Well, that means a lot to me. Thank you so much, because music's something I've always wanted to do, and I appreciate more than you know the fact that you have listened and aware of what I'm going through, and so thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, Haley. You have a good weekend, okay?
Yeah, you too. Take care.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
All right, thank you. Everybody.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
That was Haley Orentia joining us. She was great. I hope you guys got to enjoy her music. I hope you guys got to enjoy, you know, hearing about the oral history on an EP, on a musical album, which we don't often get to do. Of course, when we were pitched the interview, it was to talk about the Goldbergs. But I just felt like, boy, we never talk about music on this show as much as I would like. And I find her music to be really good. So I thought this would be a perfect opportunity to cover two EPs and talk about what it is to be an independent musician compared to an independent filmmaker or a television actress. So anyways, Haley Orentia, she's just fantastic. And I really hope you guys enjoyed that as much as I did. Nights and Weekends, that's a banger for me. I love that song. That's great. I would put it in a movie. I would put it on a TV show. It's fantastic. She's got a great voice. She's got a great pop sound. Just terrific stuff. And you can watch her on season 7 of The Goldbergs right now on ABC. The Goldbergs is one of the best shows on TV. It's been around for a while now, and our buddy Jeff Garland's on there, and he's hilarious, and it's just a really good show. Really funny, really, really funny show. Sitcoms are not dead, people. They're not dead. Anyways, thank you guys so much for joining us this week on The Matthew Aaron Show. Haley Orentia, The Goldbergs. You can check out her EPs right now, Night and Weekends, on Spotify, where you can also check out our show. And I'm looking forward to seeing you guys, hearing you guys, talking very soon. But if you guys have any questions or comments, please send them our way. And let's keep trying to do better and better shows and keep these oral histories going, because I think you guys are really enjoying them. So thank you for joining me on The Matthew Aaron Show, and we will be talking soon. Thank you.